Then Nanny scuttled from the cover of one tent to another until she could see the produce stand. It had already been doing a busy trade, but there, forlorn in the middle of the cloth, was the pile of terrible cakes. And the jar of jam. Some wag had chalked up a sign beside it, "Get the spoon out of the jar, 3 tries for a penny." She thought she'd been careful to stay concealed, but she heard the straw rustle behind her. The committee had tracked her down. "That's your handwriting, isn't it, Mrs. Earwig?" she said. "That's cruel. That ain't nice. We've decided you're to go and talk to Miss Weatherwax," said Lettuce. "She's got to stop it."
"Stop what?"
"She's doing something to people's heads. She's come here to put the fluence on us, right? Everyone knows she does head magic. We can all feel it. She's spoiling it for everyone."
"She's only sitting there," said Nanny.
"Oh, yes, but how is she sitting there, may we ask?"
Nanny peered around the stall again.
"Well, like normal, you know, bent in the middle and the knees."
Lettuce waved a finger sternly.
"Now you listen to me, Geetha Og. If you want her to go away, you go and tell her," snapped Nanny. "I'm fed up with—"
There was the piercing scream of a child. The witches stared at one another and then ran across the field to the Lucky Dip. A small boy was writhing on the ground, sobbing. It was Pusey, Nanny's youngest grandchild. Her stomach turned to ice. She snatched him up and glared into Granny's face.
"What have you done to him, you—" she began.
"Don't want a dolly, don't want a dolly, want a soldier, want a soldier!"
Now Nanny looked down at the rag doll in Pusey's sticky hand, and the expression of affronted, tearful rage on such of his face as could be seen around his screaming mouth.
"I want a soldier!"
And then at the other witches, and at Granny Weatherwax's face, and felt the horrible cold shame welling up from her boots.
"I said he could put it back and have another go," said Granny meekly, "but he just wouldn't listen.
Wanna so—"
"Pusey Og, if you don't shut up right this minute, Nanny will—"
Nanny Og began, and dredged up the nastiest punishment she could think of.
"Nanny won't give you a sweetie ever again."
Pusey closed his mouth, stunned into silence by this unimaginable threat. Then, to Nanny's horror, Lettuce Earwig drew herself up and said,
"Miss Weatherwax, we would prefer it if you left."
"Am I being a bother?" said Granny. "I hope I'm not being a bother. I don't want to be a bother. He just took a lucky dip and—"
"You're upsetting people."
Any minute now, Nanny thought, any minute now she's going to raise her head and narrow her eyes, and if Lettuce doesn't take 2 steps backwards, she'll be a lot tougher than me.
"I can't stay and watch," Granny said quietly.
"I know your game," said Lettuce. "You're planning to spoil it, aren't you? You can't stand the thought of being beaten, so you're intending something nasty."
3 steps back, Nanny thought, else there won't be anything left but bones any minute now.
"Oh, I wouldn't like anyone to think I was spoiling anything," said Granny.
She sighed and stood up.
"I'll be off home."
"No, you won't," snapped Nanny Og, pushing her back down onto the chair. "What do you think of this, Beryl Dismas? And you, Letty Parkin?"
"They're all—"
Lettuce began.
"I weren't talking to you!"
The witches behind Mrs. Earwig avoided Nanny's gaze.
"Well, it's not that— I mean, we don't think—" began Beryl awkwardly. "That is, I've always had a lot of respect for— well, it is for everyone."
Her voice trailed off. Lettuce looked triumphant.
"Really? I think we had better be going after all, then," said Nanny sourly. "I don't like the company in these parts."
She looked around.
"Agnes, you give me a hand to get Granny home." "I really don't need—" Granny began,
but the other two each took an arm and gently propelled her through the crowd, which parted to let them through and turned to watch them go.
"Probably the best for all concerned in the circumstances," said Lettuce.
Several of the witches tried not to look at her face.